man. Oh, what yeah. you say about Los Angeles? LA got the people saying,
you're listening to Corner of the Galaxy on cornerofthegalaxy.com. You're listening to Corner of the Galaxy on cornerofthegalaxy.com. Now, here are your hosts, Josh Gessman and Jared Dubois.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Corner of the Galaxy on cornerofthegalaxy.com. We're coming to you live from the LA Galaxy season ticket holders rally. We're here in a suite just off the field. Just got done listening to some comments from Chris Klein, general manager Pete Bienes, and head coach Kurt Anolfo. Joe Tutino was doing a bunch of stuff, so we got a bunch of things. But before we even get to any of that, I have to say, Mr. Jared Dubois, welcome back to the show. It's been a while.
Almost a year?
Yeah, I think it might have been a year.
It's pretty close, because I went to... I've had some personal changes at home where I had to work at night, so I haven't been able to make many appearances. Maybe I did one. I don't know.
We tried to squeeze you in as much as possible, but I know people have been clamoring for some more Dubois. So
I doubt that's too accurate, but I'll be honest with you. Like, it's been interesting because I have not been nearly as, I would say, ingrained in what's going on with the Galaxy. It's been nice to a certain extent, but at the same time, I'm anxious to... I was telling my old partner of my other show we did together, in addition to the one with you, I just kind of want to talk about it a little bit. I kind of want to do like a one-off soccer show and just get all the things that are like eating away at me. But I'll tell you what, when you step away for a bit, you become a lot less upset about little things.
I was going to say, I'm sure the minutia of Josh spending hours digging into whether or not Kobe Jones's jersey was actually retired. You didn't do that.
No, I mean it wasn't like retired. It wasn't necessarily carbonite. Right. Like it wasn't like that. It was something looser material that they're able to thaw out and give to Jermaine Jones. But you just don't get as angry as like. You're not gonna hear me heckling the stage, you know.
that's not you.
No, but at the same time, I find myself oddly optimistic, and I know that might be naive because I'm just not upset as 2 years ago. I'd probably be upset like a lot of the fan base I feel is right now.
Right.
But I think it's to an extent baseless, and I know that's gonna be unpopular opinion, but it's just that we as Galaxy fans, you know me, I'm from '96, there for the original game.
That's right.
We haven't had to do this kind of season in 20 some years.
Yeah.
Like we have not rebuilt. We renovated on the fly for a decade.
Right.
You know, over a decade. This is the first real rebuilding year from its administration, play on the field. I mean, we don't even know what the tactics and the identity of the team is going to be. Now, Pete Bienes will tell you what the culture of the team is supposed to be and what it should be, but until we get it's going to be a rough start. I don't think it's going to be a fast start this season. But
No.
I'm okay with that too, because if you watch enough MLS, the beginning of the season rarely matters.
True. No, look at Seattle last year. I know people hate to bring up Seattle. They win an MLS Cup. They are in last place at the halfway point of the season, basically. Mm-hmm. They come back and win an MLS Cup. I mean, clearly win an MLS Cup. It was the worst. It is the worst MLS Cup to have been played. And that goes even over the Colorado FC Dallas own goal extra time game that was played in Toronto in front of like three people. But nonetheless, they won an MLS Cup.
Yeah, and I think where a lot of fans are coming from right now is just that we're not used to being in this position. Like, we are supposed to be the big dog on the street. And right now, we don't know if we are or not, and that's weird to us.
But we don't know. I think if you look at the team that's on the field, you don't know what to expect from almost anybody,
right? Here's the thing. I think the team that's on the field is potentially very good, to be honest
with
you. I think it's potentially very good. But you don't have those traditional rocks that you've been able to look at in years past.
Like Robbie Keane.
For example, Robbie
Keane.
Landon
Donovan.
Yeah, and even, I will go a step below that. What really kind of, I would say, worries me, but yet at the same time intrigues, is when you look back at the years where the Galaxy has won an MLS Cup, 2002, you have Cienfuegos on that team. You have Tyrone Marshall, who's also there for the 2005. Where is the veteran journeyman on this team? Yelena Van Dam, you could say, but you don't have an MLS veteran. Like, you don't have the Pablo Mastroeni that was a one-off year rental that we won a championship with. You know, we don't have a lot of those. Jeff Laurentiis last season.
Right.
People may not have liked Jeff Laurentiis, but he served a purpose on this team last year.
A big purpose.
purpose.
Exactly.
A big purpose. You have Jermaine Jones
this year, though.
You have Jermaine Jones, but not necessarily the MLS guy.
But he's new to his, too. I'll give you that. Jermaine Jones is probably the closest thing we have to that right now. Jovan Kurowski in 2005, when we won the MLS Cup. Jovan Kurowski was on that team as well. I mean, I just don't see that journeyman MLS guy that I think is important. And that's the biggest thing for me going into the season is the loss of experience this team has undergone. Because whether you like Steven Gerrard or not, I was in the camp that did not.
Right.
But you can't deny the fact that he brings a level of experience and professionalism right. with him. And same thing with Robbie Keane. Same thing with Landon Donovan. Same thing with Jeff Laurentiis.
Mike McGee.
These are huge vacuums of experience that are now no longer here for a team that is way younger than years past. And thus needs someone to look to. Is Jermaine Jones that guy? Maybe he is.
Could be. He could be. Well, we've been saying through the preseason, and I don't necessarily expect you to have listened to every single show that we've done, Jared. Although I know you're a big fan of the show when you're not on it. Or at least your postman is, right?
My postman is. Yeah, shout out to my mailman who told me he listens to the show.
There we go. He knocked on the door. It was kind of crazy. It might be a little creepy.
Dude. He was handsome, so it was all right.
Okay, that's good. But anyway, no, it's one of those things that we've been talking about. Jermaine Jones has been excellent for the LA Galaxy. He has been the creator. He has been the guy you want him to be. He's one of the smartest players on the team. If you saw the first half of the scrimmage the last preseason game against Portland where the Galaxy lost 2-1, Jermaine Jones, Joao Pedro struggled in the first half. But second half, he starts coming back. That's the kind of consistency that you want from a guy. And he said afterwards, tired legs and everything that sort of went into what they have. And you have to imagine going through preseason right now, this is as tired as they're going to be. Now it's time to give them that rest and do that thing. But Jermaine Jones could be the reason this team succeeds.
Well, he's superhuman. I mean, the guy is not human. He's built out of something different. He's built out of that thing just a few players in history have. You know, and I would say Michael Bradley has some of that same type of stuff where that engine that doesn't quit, they're timeless, guys that can just go on forever. The question regarding him is not his effort, not his skill. Those things are unquestioned. It's whether or not he can be healthy for an entire season.
Yeah.
And that's what you worry when you look at the Galaxy team, because you're already going into this season with a fragile Robbie Rogers, a potentially fragile Ashley Cole.
Yeah.
You know,
Jossie
Zardes.
Yep.
So while you've brought in the midfielder you probably need to be successful this season, how many games do you get him for? And how many games this season will all four of those guys we just mentioned be on the field together?
Right.
And that's where you start getting nervous about the season. There's reasons to be excited, because if they all can get on there and you bring the new players that you've brought in, the young Portuguese guys, Joao Pedro,
yep.
Yeah, you bring him in. Alessandrini, I'm skeptical if that's a DP signing, to be honest with you. I'm quite skeptical, but here's what I think. It's an MLS DP signing.
Yes.
I don't know if it's an LA Galaxy DP signing. And that's where I struggle when we talk about identity now. That's where I'm having trouble connecting the dots from what I can traditionally feel as the LA Galaxy identity
right.
and what it potentially is going to be going forward.
No, I mean, I think you're right. My favorite question that I think I got asked in this preseason is, what qualifies Alessandrini to be a designated player? And I said, it's a salary. And that's it. That's all it means. It's just that's all designated players are. It's a salary designation. Now, for the LA Galaxy, that means something different, though.
Yeah, usually it means, traditionally, LA Galaxy DP means jersey sales.
Right.
It means where you're going to do your off-season work, you know, where you guys are going to tour.
Right.
There's no tours anymore.
No.
We don't go through Australia and China and anything like that anymore.
No.
It's a different type of DP environment than before. I mean, maybe you go to Toulouse and you sell out the place with Alessandrini. I don't know, but I don't know what we're doing with this guy. But here's the thing. In the end, I necessarily don't care how many jerseys we sell.
Right.
Because I'd rather have another ugly gold. Is that gold or green? I'm colorblind. The letters on the screen on the stadium right there where it says how many championships.
It's gold. It's
okay.
Gold.
Okay. So all of a sudden we embrace gold again around here? I don't know.
Let the record show it's gold for those not in this room.
Full disclosure, I'm almost fully colorblind, okay? My entire wardrobe is variations of black, white, gray, red, and blue, because I can mix anything together and I'm good. I've just delved into khaki, Josh.
Just khaki? So you just dipped your toe in?
Yeah, just a little bit.
Where I've lived for most of my life.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Khaki and boat shoes. Yeah. Yes, I mean, I can't go to the boat shoe route. That's just a style thing, not a color thing. But for you, it works for some reason. It's that white boy look.
That's right. I've got it down nailed. We do have some people who are listening here. Wendy's going to be coming up on the podcast in just a little bit as well. But I think maybe perhaps we have somebody who wants to ask a question. Do we have any questions? Questions for anybody?
Someone has to be brave.
Somebody has. Well, who wants to go first?
Or it could be my little man, Logan, who's in
Logan,
the room.
Yeah, come on up.
Logan doesn't have any questions.
No, he's already freaking out. Come on. Come on up. Ask us a question. Let's see. Tell everybody your name.
Hi, everyone. I'm Carmen from Chino, California.
All right.
IE in the house.
Yeah.
There we go. Oh, God. That's just what we need. All right, Carmen, what question do you have? What can we butcher here?
Well, this is a fairly easy question, I think. It's what do you think is the best starting 11 the LA Galaxy can put on the field?
If you're talking
now or potentially?
Potentially without injuries.
Okay, so obviously we got Rowe in the pipes.
Okay, Rowe.
Let's see where we differ. We'll go each position. Right back, for me, it's going to be Robbie Rogers.
Okay.
Middle, we're going to be...
Wait, it's going to be the
back
same.
Back four is going to be the same.
There's a reason...
You have Steris and Van Damme in the middle.
Correct.
And then you're going to have Ashley Cole on the left.
Correct, yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So when you get to midfield, where it might get a little bit tricky. On the right, and this is not where I want him to play, but where he may end up playing is Sebastian Legette.
That is correct. Okay, continue.
In the middle, you're going to have João Pedro and... And obviously Jermaine Jones.
Okay, yes, correct.
On the left, here's another one where is like this could be up for grabs a little bit. If I'm going to put the top two there,
it's
going to be Alessandrini.
I was going to say it's very simple. So go ahead.
It is, but that means you're leaving Boateng out, which is fine.
He's going to be off the bench.
Yeah,
that's fine.
And then up the top two, and it's going to be the top two, but I'm anticipating how they're going to play in terms of where they're going to be staggered or flat is going to be Giassi Zardes and Gio Dos Santos.
Yes, and this is the reason that...
I'm assuming a 4-4-2, by the way.
Yeah, and
it's probably a 4-3-3, but...
4-4-1-1, however... Listen, every formation is a 4-4-2. I don't care what anybody says. It just matters moving somebody
it's
a little left.
Stagger.
Yeah, exactly. That's how it works. No, the reason that that's so... That we're on the same page is because everybody's on the same page is because after you get through that starting lineup, the mm-hmm. depth drops so quickly that those are the clear starters.
And that's where we just heard out there at the rally, the new mantra of how the LA Galaxy is going to identify themselves and see itself is that you're not going to have that name you necessarily recognize on the bench, but they're hoping you're going to have that name you're going to recognize coming out of the youth system.
Right.
That's where the money and the time is going to be spent now to develop that player off the bench, the Jack McBeans, the Villarreals, you know, those guys that at the next level, the Raul Mendiolas, that are not necessarily well-known MLS names, but guys, right. If you're paying attention in the Galaxy core, you know who these guys are, and hopefully they're of the level where you don't need to spend your money in those other areas.
Yeah, I don't know if it's coming across on the recording or not, but they're announcing players in the stadium
There's flamethrowers in the Home Depot Center now. StubHub Center now. StubHub Center. It's always going to be the Home Depot Center to me, by the way. I don't do this thing, right, by the way. I don't change...
But the problem is that if you keep it the Home Depot Center, then you don't give yourself the stubby nickname that everybody deserves. And that's the problem.
The problem is you should have called it Victoria Street from the beginning. That's what we should have done. But
that's very English.
The other thing is the only reason I will give up the Home Depot moniker now because you don't want to give Atlanta that much more naming rights,
you know,
because they're owned by the owner of Home Depot.
Right. Yeah. So you don't want anyone.
But the flamethrowers always here. That's new, isn't it?
No, I don't. I think they rented
Seattle
them.
Sounders?
I think they rented them. I don't know. It's cold out, and they need it a little warm.
Okay.
That's how it is. Giovanni Dos Santos just got announced to a raucous applause from the, what are we going to say, 500, 600 people here?
Yeah, I say it's roughly that much.
That sounds about right. It's raining as well, so I understand some of you decided not to come out. Although it looks like
And they already knew whatever all the people on stage are going to say.
Yeah, I mean, there's no surprises here.
We couldn't even get Pete Vianis to nail down the DP question
And it's, I'll be honest, I think that talking to Chris Klein, that question is probably more up in the air than fans would like it to be.
So the question, just so we can make sure for people who may not know, is the third DP. There's a question about are we going to be purchasing a third DP?
Quote unquote third DP.
And you and I looked at each other and be like, it's already happened, technically.
Right.
Yellow
right.
Van Damme, who is above the level where he places a DP. But the question is, are they going to buy it down with Tam?
And whether or not, and what how that happens. I mean, they're doing it right now to save money, and we've gone over this on the podcast before. But we've done this before where it's the reason they're doing it is to save Tam. That's the only reason Yellow Van Damme is a designated player. All right. So whenever you look at that and how that works, you know, it makes sense that way. Whether or not they're going to do it and actually buy down Yellow Van Damme in the summertime is going to be, I think, almost entirely based on what they think they need.
By the way, I'm okay with Yellow Van Damme being a DP.
It goes against Josh's rule of no defensive designated players, but Josh is also of the belief.
You know, I am completely agree with you in terms of Omar Gonzalez, but if this is the new LA Galaxy,
right.
than the unsexy DP, we got to get used to that.
But he's actually pretty sexy for a designated player. I mean,
I'm not talking physically. Okay. I mean, I'd question a few things. Okay. I'm not going to lie. But in terms of the placement on the field, you'd like them to spend that money on the flashy player, the guy's going to make a difference.
The one thing that I can say to that is that Yellow Van Dam was one of the most dangerous offensive players the LA Galaxy had last year, which is just goes to say, yeah, it's sort of how it was. But
here's what worries me. I don't think he can sustain that type of production ongoing.
Well, he's getting older. I mean, that's one thing.
I think you as a defense can't consistently sustain the absence of a center back making darting runs all through the stadium.
Right.
I mean, that's a lot to ask the rest of your team to recover consistently. At some point, that's going to get taken advantage of. In terms of the repetition of it.
I think there's some of that. And then also, you know, you look at how the LA Galaxy are so thin at defense right now that there is an issue with just the fact if Yellow Van Dam goes forward, who's going to be back there to cover? You're going to have to drop Jermaine Jones, who likes to get forward. Joao Pedro, who likes to get forward. You saw in the scrimmage, both of those guys are getting forward.
But Jermaine Jones likes to go forward, too.
Everybody likes to get forward. That's the problem. Yeah, at one point, you're going to have Yellow Van Dam, Jermaine Jones, Joao Pedro.
You know who doesn't like to go forward as much as I thought they would?
Giovanni Dos Santos.
Ashley Cole.
Oh. Well,
I thought he would be much more involved in the attack last season than he was.
In the preseason games that I watched, it was one of the highlights of the preseason so far. I was watching Alisson Drini, Jermaine Jones, Yellow Van Dam, and Ashley Cole work the ball up the field. And the fact that Ashley Cole's injured now is devastating to the LA Galaxy.
But did you think you see him overlap more? Now, maybe it's because you have Boateng out there a lot last season, which is going to be a sideline runner, which takes away that overlap space.
Well, also, I think Boateng isn't necessarily the biggest defensive sort of player, so Ashley Cole has to stay back and do some things. So
yeah, much like a lot of other players, relies on his speed to recover rather than being positionally sound.
No, I think it's going to be. This season is interesting. We don't understand who is going to step up for the LA Galaxy. The LA Galaxy 2, we've said it over and over again. And as we're sort of looking at them, you know, introduce players and see some things, there's a lot of players that people don't know their names. I mean, whenever Michael Araujo does the goal chant, if they score, people are going to be like, I have no idea who this guy's last name is.
Well, hopefully they put it on that big old screen they spent $15 million on.
Yeah, I don't think they spent all $15 million on the screen.
Okay.
But I think some people would say that.
But does that make it less LA Galaxy? Does it make you feel like you don't know your team anymore when that is the case, when you may not know the guy that's the 12th man on the bench?
I'll tell you right now that going into the locker room, I look around and say, this doesn't feel like the LA Galaxy.
Is that okay?
I'm okay with it.
Are you okay with it?
It's different.
Do you think the average fan is okay with it? Because it's hard to peacock. You know, like we've been that team. Like we're the peacockers. You know,
we
like
are.
Like get it's on our level. You know, look at us. You know, and I don't know necessarily that we can do that anymore. Like I don't feel I can be as cocky as I once was.
It's hard.
That goes against my nature, Jeff.
It's hard. Yeah, I know. You need to peacock. You need to strut. It's hard to do that whenever you're trying to be flashy about Daniel Starris.
I think honestly, Seattle's better. Has a better position for that now. I think they can peacock more than we can.
Well, I think Atlanta probably can peacock better than the LA Galaxy.
So you get 30,000 season ticket holders. I mean, that's ridiculous.
And some of the guys that they've lined up. I mean, they have a listen. We talk, and Michael Araujo actually came down to correct me, and he says, I don't want to be that guy. And I'm like, it's okay, Mike, you can tell me, what did I say wrong? Because he listens to the show. And he goes, well, you said the only expansion team to ever make the playoffs was the Seattle Sounders.
No, Chicago Fire.
And he goes, the Chicago Fire won an MLS Cup. I said,
Me and that guy can get along.
Yeah, I was going to say, right? It was one of those, right? And basically we look at like MLS 1.0 versus 2.0. That's what I said was sort of the difference of it in my mind is that, you know.
Oh, that's how you saved it?
That's how I saved it.
Okay.
That's how I tried to couch it. But yeah, he was.
Oh, okay.
Hey, so now I've corrected myself, Mike, so you can stop. You can take that.
Like, What's the other bit of trivia about that Chicago Fire team and being an expansion team?
I don't know.
Only expansion team to ever also do what?
Win
MLS Cup their first season.
I just said that. Did you not hear
me say that?
Yeah, I was like, oh, they won an MLS Cup.
Dude, I'm always thinking about what I'm going
to
say next.
I know, it's okay. I remember how this works.
Yeah.
I remember. I do all the show notes. You show up.
Oh, I've never done a show note.
Yeah, I was going
to say. Never done a show note. I mean, if I'm lucky, you're very good at that. I mean, honestly, you put a pad of paper in front of me right now, there's nothing written on it.
Yeah, I know. You were like, can I write on this? I'm like, yeah, go ahead.
I was just worried that like I may have to write. I don't know. I thought I might forget what I'm going to say.
Help me. Help me.
No, I'm good.
I'm holding you under over your will. All right. What we're going to do
is... I was called a creative... I'm like the number 10 of podcasting. I never know what the next move's going to be until I instinctually make it.
Don't just give yourself a promotion like that. I mean, number 10...
You're the analytics guy. I get it.
I'm the analytics guy. Let's not. Let's not go there. All right. What we're going to do, we're going to go ahead and take a break whenever we get back. Wendy's going to hop in on some podcasting as well. We're going to continue to do this, again, live from the season ticket holder rally. We hope that if you're here, well, you're not listening to this because it's coming out afterwards, but hopefully you stop by and said hi to us. All right. So we're going to be here for a little bit while longer talking to some people, hopefully possibly have a guest stop by as well. All right. You're listening to Corner of the Galaxy on cornerofthegalaxy.com.
Ready for some more Corner of the Galaxy? Don't forget to head over to the website for all the latest podcasts, news, and more. Visit us online at cornerofthegalaxy.com.
Welcome back to Corner of the Galaxy on cornerofthegalaxy.com, here again live from the season ticket holder rally. Going to be joined by a special guest now. Actually, it's kind of weird because he just intro'd this segment whenever I press the button, but he's sitting next to me, a good friend of the show, a guy who puts in a lot of work doing voiceovers for us as well, the voice of the LA Galaxy in the state of Mr. Michael Araujo. Mike, thanks for stopping by.
Hello, thank you. And I actually would say that honor goes to Mr. Joe Tatino.
I give it to both of you. I mean, that's Touché. Me. That's me. I mean, that's how it works. But always glad to have you here. You're obviously doing the announcements for the season ticket holder rally. We stole you away for 5 minutes.
Yes,
that way we could talk. I wanted to think you were there for the preseason game. I know you get excited about games.
I do.
Yeah, and that's I think you're a fan. You're a fan of the LA Galaxy. You enjoy announcing and watching soccer on a regular basis.
Yeah, so, you know, the funny thing about it is I didn't grow up watching the Galaxy. I was too old for that.
Right.
So they started when I was in my 20s, and I actually did go to the very first game as a fan, but I had a friend who worked for the team, and so he pulled me in, and I started volunteering because what better than to get to go to games for free. They fed me. I had a credential. I could go wherever I wanted, and they just told me what to do. So I got to watch soccer for free and get food. Who's going to argue with that?
Bonus. Yeah, you actually stopped by earlier before we started, and you brought an original game day program from the very first game that you were at, correct?
April 13th, 1996.
That is that, and I saw it. I took a picture of it. You can go to my Instagram at Galaxy Podcast on Instagram to see a picture of that. But I mean, you've been now with the team for a long time, there, buddy. First game.
Yeah. I mean, the second game is when I started officially with the team,
right?
Or I guess unofficially because I was a volunteer, but. Yeah, so I've been around this for a long time. I'm starting my 16th season as the announcer, but all going back to your initial question, definitely a fan. I mean, I don't think I could do this if I weren't a fan.
Right.
So I have the opportunity to come watch the games, and I have a great seat not far from you.
Yeah, that's right. And just down the aisle there.
That's right. And I mean, what a great vantage point it is. People come to the games and nothing against, you know, when you can get close to the field, that's an amazing experience.
Right.
But boy, if you got to sit in the cheap seats here at StubHub Center, you still got a great view.
Yeah.
Because you really get to see the game play out.
Yeah, I was saying if you get close to the games, if you get to go ever watch a scrimmage on the side or something, the main difference that you're going to notice, one is that the view is actually pretty horrible because you're down flat. And two, there's a lot more F-words than you ever thought you would hear.
So, right, I heard you talk about that.
Yeah, that's basically the difference between scrimmages and everything else. But while you're sitting here, I can't help but look at your hand. And what you have there is an MLS Cup ring. And how many of those do you have?
Well, that's an interesting question. This is my only one.
Okay.
Even though I've been the announcer for all five championships.
Right.
It was a late addition in terms of including me in that process. So it was something that I wasn't originally included in, but I've been told, I have this one, and I've been told that I will be included in that process moving forward.
That's good. So you have a vested interest in them winning another championship then?
Well, I mean, I did even before.
Yes.
So I actually, in 2005, I flew to Dallas and I went to the game, and it was a fun little experience because my boss at the time, he knew that I was going to be going to the game, and he asked, well, do you want to do the team introductions? I was like, wait, what? And he said, well, I told the league that you were going to be there, and they asked if you wanted to do a live intro of the team. So the New England PA announcer pre-recorded his, but I was there, and so I had a credential. I had a ticket
right
to the game, but I had a credential, and they took me up to the press box, and I got to do a live intro of the team for the 2005 MLS Cup, which obviously they won.
Yes.
Got to go to the after party, pictures with the trophy and everything. So I didn't get a ring, but definitely an amazing experience. And so, no, you know, the ring's not what it's all about for me. It's just fun to be a part of it, have unique experiences. But, hey, I get to watch soccer.
I know.
And I get paid to do it.
I was going
to
say, you get paid to do it. You're also the Angels PA announcer, which most Dodger fans now will hate you for, but that's okay.
It's all about the brotherhood.
Yeah. My mom thinks you're the best ever PA announcer. My mom's a huge Angels fan. I think we've talked about this. And so, yeah, I get text messages when you're not there. So please show up to work at the Angels games, because I don't want to.
There are some conflicts this year, so I will be missing some Angel games and a couple Galaxy games. But, yeah, same thing. A huge Angels fan all growing up, and so the opportunity to announce, you know, people would ask me when I was here, you know, oh, so what's your dream PA job? And the Angels was always my answer. So the fact that, in fact, today is the four-year anniversary of my audition in Arizona when I auditioned for
the Angels.
Angels position.
Yeah, that spring training there. I think we talked about that whenever you were on the show before. One of my most listened to episodes, by the way, was you, Mr. Michael Araujo, which is always fun. And again, Mike has done so much amazing work. All of the voiceovers you hear take, what, like about 17 or 18 hours worth of work? Weeks of work. Or an afternoon and a couple hours of me trying to direct Mike Araujo, which is possibly the most humorous thing I think of, because you're the professional here. I'm a pretender.
But you have the vision.
Can you give me a little more, Mike?
Yeah,
can
you give got me a the vision. More? That's what it's all about.
So what one of the ones I haven't gotten to edit it all the time, but we did the Disneyland one, which is coming out. So we're gonna have that one. But before we go, I think you should do a goal call before you go, because I always make you perform on demand, and it's more fun for me that way.
Like a dancing chicken.
Like a dance monkey dance. That's how it works. So, there's people sitting here. Who do we want to have scored a goal? Brian Rowe. I think Brian Rowe. No. Who? No. who's just shout him out. Pedro. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Pedro,
thank
Mike.
Thank you, Wendy.
Now, how do you say, we talked about this.
We did. So the brief history of that one. You had said his name on your podcast.
Yes.
Joao, I believe.
Yes.
You pronounce
Joao.
It.
Joao, yes.
And I privately corrected you. Okay. And
this happens on a regular basis, by the way. I'm used to it, and I appreciate it. So I
corrected him that, well, you know, actually the pronunciation is just Jao.
Jao, right.
And that came from experience of other players in the league.
Okay.
And the pronunciation guides always just J-O-W, Jao.
Jao, right.
So here I think I'm doing you a solid. And last night at the game, I get the pronunciation guide, and it's Joao.
Yes.
And so I'm like, wait a second, what? So I go and I talk to the public relations people, and they inform me that in fact it is Joao.
Joao.
And
all right.
I had to crawl over to your spot and apologize and say
my favorite part of things. All right, it's whenever you apologize. All right, I'm gonna move your mic back here a little bit, just because I know you're gonna get after it. But Joao Pedro scores a goal. Here it is, Mike Araujo doing it for Corner of the Galaxy. Take it away, Mr. Araujo.
Just to confirm, he's number eight, right?
Yeah,
I haven't had
58, eight. It's
well,
one
right,
of those numbers. It's
right.
Eight.
Last night it
yes,
was.
It's
today.
Eight. He will be eight, I have been told. All right, you're ready.
What minute did he score the goal?
I don't it was the 88th minute, because it was a game winner. So
oh, clear. All right, I like
okay,
it.
Yes, yeah. Yes. Go ahead.
Do you have the music?
I don't have that music ready.
Well,
I normally don't have you
here.
On
what
the podcast.
What kind of operation is this?
It's shoestring at best.
Whew. All right. Well, I'm gonna pretend in my head that the music just ended.
Okay. Yes.
Okay, but. When the music's going, that's when I'm taking my deep breaths to kind of get ready.
Just,
so can you like do some music for me? Just something.
That's yes, I can. We'll do.
No. Don't play anything.
No.
Just
oh, you
hum
want me? Hum?
Yeah. Give me. Give
what,
me the,
what's what was the song that even plays? What is this? I don't even remember anymore.
White Stripes. Seven Nation Army.
Bum 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 bum.
LA Galaxy goal scored in the 88th minute by number 8, Zhao.
Pedro.
Zhao.
Pedro.
Zhao.
Pedro.
Thank you.
You're welcome. That's my favorite part. Absolutely my favorite part. Mr. Michael Araujo in the house. Mike, thanks for stopping by, buddy. I always appreciate it, and we'll talk to you soon. All right?
Take care.
All right. We're going to be back here in a little bit more. Wendy's going to join us. Again, still maybe some more guests popping in and saying hi. We still got a bunch to talk about. You're listening to Corner of the Galaxy on cornerofthegalaxy.com.
Like a dancing chicken. You owe me. Thank you.
Hey, this is Chris.
This is Eddie.
This is Jason.
And we're from Back Pocket Memory, and you're listening to Corner of the Galaxy.
Welcome back to Corner of the Galaxy, cornerofthegalaxy.com. We are recording live from StubHub Center, where the season ticket holder rally is going on. I told you Wendy was going to join us. She is here with us now. So, Wendy, welcome to the show, the live show. Always nice. Our first time recording in person.
I know. It feels so special to sit right next to you, Jeff.
I always think it's special to sit next to me, too. So that's always fun. We just got done talking with Mike Araujo. He was in the suite. We're living the suite life. And if you're a Disney Channel fan, that's the suite life with Zach and Cody. Just a little shout out to those guys doing hard work on Disney Channel. For years, hard
Not
work.
All of us have a five-year-old, Josh.
What are you talking about? That show came on well before my son was born, all right? I was watching that in my like mid-20s, easy. So, sweet life with Zach and Cody. All right, so we get to the LA Galaxy. Wendy, you got to watch some of the preseason game last night. You got to hear some of the things that are going on. I mean, there's some things to be positive about. I think we were just talking about the second half and how the LA Galaxy were able to, you know, adjust and rebound there. So, I mean, you know, it's not all doom and gloom.
It's not all doom and gloom. I think that the big low light that people pointed out was specifically on defense. I believe they were, hapless, dreck, well, woeful, this pathetic.
Is, just pull out your thesauruses.
Thesaurus, yes. All the time. No, but I mean, I think there's a lot of concerns defensively with the team, particularly with respect to Rafa Garcia being exposed as definitely not a right back, correct?
Well, I mean, if you're judging the defenders from what they did on this, I would say that Rafa had a good night for me, like a better night than even Daniel Starris had.
You don't think that Rafa hung Starris out to dry?
I think Fernando Audi turned Starris like a little toy top multiple times.
Spun him like a rag doll.
That's exactly what happened. But, I mean, but you look at the adjustments that they made, and Daniel Starris talked after the game, and I have some post-game audio from that, and I'll paraphrase from it because you don't want to listen to all of it. But basically, they talk about the adjustment they made in the second half. And the second half LA Galaxy team was the team that you want to see against FC Dallas coming up on Saturday whenever they kick off the season. And that was really, when you look at it, the turning point for the LA Galaxy. They attacked Portland. They were able to outmaneuver them. And then, of course, the main reason they were able to do that was they got a guy like Roman. By the way, I was told it's Roman. It's Roman Alessandrini. All right?
Roman Alessandrini comes on.
Yes, I know. See, it's Italian name from a French guy. So he has to
He's
have Italian.
He's from the French Riviera, bear in mind. And the French Riviera is geographically situated very close to the Italian Riviera.
This is again, geography lessons now. We went from like thesaurus, grammar, spelling, that type of thing. Now we've gone to geography with Wendy. But no, you're right. You're absolutely right. And so that's sort of where he gets from. But he seemed to be the spark plug that the LA Galaxy needed, and he's a designated player, so you need to have that from him. That's something you needed to see.
Yeah, I mean, I think that you thought that he was one of the real highlights from last night, and you know, I know I heard earlier Jared commenting on how he is a different type of designated player signing. But from my perspective, if he's the type of designated signing who is young, hungry, interested in proving himself after having had some setbacks in France, then maybe he's the right designated player signing.
He seems, one, I will tell you right now, he seems to be a guy who loves being in Los Angeles. Same thing with Joao Pedro.
They all love being in Los Angeles, Josh. Come on.
But he's from, I mean, with Alessandrini, he's from Marseille. He's not from a horrible
place. I know,
and so
he's like, if I'm going to go anywhere, I am only going to go to a place that is as beautiful as the French Riviera, and that really confines him geographically.
Although I think I'm probably going to move to Portland if it continues to rain in LA like this. So I'm just, it's every day.
We'll have some sunshine. We'll have some sunshine.
That's hopefully for the game coming up on Saturday. But I mean, this is what you have now. There's tons of injuries across the board. That's really the discussion and the problem that we have with the LA Galaxy right now. You have Jossie Zardes, who hasn't started training with the team, but is supposed to start training basically on Monday. So tomorrow, as we're recording this, you have Robbie Rogers, who, as far as I know, still can't feel most of his left foot. So he's not going to be back until he can feel that. And who knows if that's ever going to happen. I mean, that's a realistic step in that discussion, is whether or not that happens. And then you had the injury, and probably I would say the biggest injury to the LA Galaxy this preseason. Granted, Robbie Rogers, huge, because you have to go with Rafa Garcia at the right back. But if you look at the left back situation with Ashley Cole was, Jermaine Jones says, Ashley Cole was one of the best outside defensive backs in Major League Soccer last year. I don't disagree at all. And he's a veteran presence. I think something Jared was talking about. Who is that veteran guy? Another veteran guy, and maybe not an MLS presence, but a veteran guy who can come in and do that. And that could be, that's Ashley Cole.
And the injuries compound a problem that you were actually pointing out in the podcast a week ago, which is lack of depth.
Across the board. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we have 23 spots signed, I think, right now. You're allowed to have 30 on an MLS roster, and so we have tons of space, unoccupied slots, and that just means that at every single position, there's just no coverage whatsoever.
Yeah, and we ultimately believe, and nobody thinks that anything is going to come out of this in terms of any like big new signings. That's not going to happen. But LA Galaxy 2 guys are going to be brought up. I mean, basically, you're going to see. I thought a guy who played really well. Remember, Yellow Van Dam left at halftime with food poisoning. If you want to get into the details of it, Kurt Anolfo said that at halftime he was vomiting and had diarrhea, and they couldn't get him off the toilet in order to start the game. So there's. I hope you weren't eating lunch whenever I told you that. I apologize, but that's what Anolfo said. So just understand, we thought perhaps it could be an injury, which would have been just, you know, I probably would have folded up the podcast. I mean, three injuries in the preseason to defenders.
2017.
Yeah, that would have been it for me. But you look at how that is. It's a sickness. He'll probably be fine. Okay, so you know,
he better be.
Yeah, dodge a bullet there.
We are one injury away from putting on the field, Josh.
Yeah, I know. I'm close. Jared's already stretching. He's gonna get his white kicks out. No white kicks. He's an anti-white. That was why I said it. But it's whenever you look at, you know, what has happened. What they ended up doing was moving Dave Romney into the center, and you had Nathan Smith. Guess who had a very good game at defense in the left back position? Nathan Smith. Perhaps that's a guy. In fact, I would count on it. It is a guy who's going to be added to the depth as an LA Galaxy player. But that's... We say that there's no depth. There's depth. There's players, there's bodies, there's people. We just don't know what it is.
They're untested depth, right?
and
we're about to swim in waters, and we don't know how waters the deep are, right? It could be the Pacific Ocean, or it could be a pool. We don't know.
It's no idea. And we're not going to know. Pete Vianis, I think I said it earlier, Pete Vianis says, we're going to test these guys. We understand right now that we're testing these guys who are the depth, that are the academy guys. And he said, and I think it's almost a quote, and I'll paraphrase it, but it's real close. He said, some guys are going to make it, and some guys aren't. And the aren't guys, that's actually encouraging for me, because I don't want them to think that they can force guys who aren't MLS caliber into some of these positions. And I don't think, at least from what he says, I don't think that's going to happen. But at the same time, you're going to have to give them some rope to go out there and play a little bit.
Yeah, and potentially hang themselves. But no, I mean, I do think that it's interesting that, you know, if ever there was an opportunity for a player who for the past 2 years under Bruce Arena has said to himself, I wish I could get a chance. Bruce Arena always goes with the veteran presence. You know, he has this terrible predilection towards relying on older players who are MLS veterans. If ever there was an opportunity for a young kid to come out and prove himself, then it is this year. It is the next 6 months.
Which is an amazing opportunity for these guys. And ultimately, I think the background story here is that Uncle Phil... Phil Anschutz, the owner of AEG, who owns the LA Galaxy, came in and said, hey,
what's with this academy we've built?
Yeah, we spent a lot of money on it.
Is it any good?
You guys tell me that we have one of the best academies. You tell me that we have one of the best, you know, USL teams in terms of talent. You tell me all these things. And so I want you guys to play those guys. Because see, what happens was I spent $9 million of my hard earned money on two guys who sat on the bench in the playoffs. Right. And so I think if that's the sort of story that we can put together, and that's a narrative that fits, and I think it does in the general scheme of things, if we're telling this story, that's what you're seeing right now, is you're seeing this academy, this LA Galaxy 2 team, you're seeing them going to be put through the ringer. And basically they're going to war, and some of them aren't going to make it back.
Yeah. I mean, one thing I was commenting to my boyfriend about when we were listening to the town hall is that they were espousing this mantra of, we think we're the best in MLS. We think MLS, you know, LA Galaxy is a flagship team. We're the ones everyone looks to. And it's like, boy, you guys are really touting your own credentials quite a bit. This is like, so I think this is an opportunity in one way for maybe Uncle Phil saying to the front office, all right, put your money where your mouth is. If Kurt Anolfo has developed an academy and Los Dos into these incredible MLS caliber players, then let us see it.
Yeah, and I think that that should be a positive. I think that if you're looking at what the LA Galaxy are trying to do, and there was sort of this philosophy, and I think Jared got it right whenever he was talking about it, which is, you know, we're still going to be able to go out and spend money. See, that's the whole thing. There's this cost savings things that's going on, or cost cutting that's going on with the LA Galaxy.
Maybe value added or
They're spending wisely, right? That's what they see. At least that's what they think they're telling themselves. So they're spending wisely. They're doing that. If that's how that's going, we know AEG has deep pockets.
Oh, yeah.
So there's no problem if they ever need to splash the cash on somebody. You can't say that AEG doesn't have the money to do it.
And if this experiment does not work, if in the next 5 months we run out every Los Dos player possible, then come summertime, I would not be surprised if the LA Galaxy just throws money at some big DP signing.
Well, and I think that's sort of the question. Again, it's going to be about need. I said it earlier and on previous shows, I'll say it again, that I think if the LA Galaxies are still struggling at defense, and the only way that they can supplant the defense to make them stronger is to go out and get a designated player, defensive player, and buy down Yella Van Damme and bring in a DP, they will do that. And that will kill me, and I will slowly die. As MLS 2.0 slowly goes out and is dead, because teams are spending more money on defense. It has been shown already. Yella Van Damme is a perfect example of how much teams are spending money on defense. I get it, but I don't spend money on defense. That's always been
sort of Josh's rule. That's not Wendy's rule.
No, I know. No. Yeah, I like Yella Van Damme. I think that's a smart signing. I'm okay with that money going there. I don't know if we want to do any more. All right, we're bringing Jared on too. So Jared's gonna pop in. Yeah, go
I
ahead.
Just want to make the point that a woman really knows the cost of true protection.
Yes,
you can't spend enough on defense. You know,
that's right.
All about defense. That's
right. Just be honest. As men, we usually leave it to the woman to make sure that they have the defense handled.
It's all offense for them. Yes, I understand.
It's very important.
Yes,
you gotta know when to allow those goals. You
that's right. That's right. You don't want any surprise goals. You don't want any surprise goals, so I understand how that goes. All right, so I mean that's where we stand. We're now less than a week away from the LA Galaxy kicking off against FC Dallas. This is the time for the Galaxy realistically to rest up this week. I mean, this is not a super hard training. We're going to learn a whole bunch of things about this team in sort of how it continues to go on. This is about right now. It's about the Galaxy resting up and being ready to go for the FC Dallas game coming up on Saturday. So it's an interesting time. I think that if you're covering this team like I am, if you're a neutral, it's interesting. If you're a diehard LA Galaxy fan, you might be a little scared, and I understand that. It's a new era. It's a new beginning.
We are in uncharted territory.
Uncharted territory. Uncharted completely. Territories. Completely. And like I think Jared said, 20 years, there's been no rebuild. Reshuffle.
I mean, there's been bad years. I mean, people would say 2008,
yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. The year of Rude Hewlett. The year of the Beckham experiment coming into MLS and
right.
trying to steer this ship
right.
and then, running it right into
the
iceberg.
The rocks.
Yeah. But other than that, in general, MLS has, LA Galaxy has a phenomenal record, especially in terms of making it to the playoffs,
right.
making it deep into the, postseason. But it's true that in the past 10 years or so, it's been a very steady, some people would say boring at times, steady but boring ride, oftentimes to an MLS Cup.
Yeah, I was going to say to an MLS Cup. I mean, 2011 was probably one of the most boring years when you think about it. Beginning to end, LA Galaxy. That was it.
Yeah.
It was a foregone conclusion, especially after 2010 and the disappointment that came in 2010. And not only 2010, but you look at the disappointing 2009, which is still my favorite season ever, and people give me crap for that all the time. Love 2009. Heartbroken. Cried on the plane, aww. Coming back. The whole thing. But it still is what got me hooked on soccer and even covering soccer and doing all that stuff. So, that's how it is. If we have any questions or anything from that, you guys are more than welcome to just step up to the microphone. We'll do it again. We're recording from a suite at StubHub Center. We do have a question. All right, step all the way up to that mic. And what's your name?
Michael.
Thanks for joining us. I appreciate it. What question do you have?
I was just wondering if you've talked to anyone on the team who's talked about possibly Husicic at one of the outside backs, since he's played there.
He has played
in
there.
The past.
He has.
Yeah.
Since we seem a little weak at those spots right now.
Yeah. Well, it looks like Baggio picked up a knock in training, so that's why he wasn't. I know.
Of course he did.
I know. Jack McBean and Baggio Husicic didn't dress for the last game. That is, they both picked up knocks. I've been told, by at least with Jack McBean, that he should be ready for the weekend. So if you want Jack in your lineup, like maybe Josh does, then you should be happy with that. But Baggio Husicic,
he has played outside.
He's a Swiss Army vegan. I mean,
that's right. He's the utility knife of the LA Galaxy.
He can do. You can put him anywhere. You can put him in goal.
Put him anywhere.
If Brian Rowe, you know, breaks an arm and then
Diop
gets a red card for some spectacular save he made at the midway line,
we gotta go.
It's going to be Baggio Husicic. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's not even close. So, and bulletproof Baggio, despite the fact that he's vegan and doesn't drink bulletproof coffee. That was my favorite. So, bulletproof Alan Gordon apparently.
No, he is an option. Think about it. He is a viable option, of course. You know, Anolfo is going to say, this is actually a perfect opportunity to bring in those kids. Put in Nathan Smith. Why not?
Nathan Smith played well. I'm not going to... Listen, Jose Villarreal played really well in some of the preseason games I saw as well, but him in this last game I wasn't impressed with, and that's how it goes. It's ups and downs. These younger players are not consistent. Get that through your head, because the guys who are consistent are going to be starters. Baggio Husicic is the ultimate consistent player. He gives you exactly what he gives you every single time on the field. It's not amazing. It's not horrible. It's somewhere in between, but you know, it's the classic
he's
Bruce
a
Arena.
Honda Civic,
you
yeah.
know what to, he's a he, Honda
he's
Civic.
He's a Honda Civic.
He's a Honda. Yeah, Bruce Arena would say you know what to expect from Baggio.
Yes.
Honda Civic, good gas mileage.
Efficient.
Healthy
good for
healthy
the environment.
Yes, I was going with that one with the vegan mm-hmm. thing. So yeah, no, that's Baggio. And you can pair him up with the other vegan, Jermaine Jones.
Yeah.
So, and I think we were talking about vegan. Oh, this was last night at the game. We were talking about like vegetarian and why these guys are vegetarian and stuff like that. And Jermaine Jones is a hardcore like vegan vegetarian guy because we think his wife is the hardcore vegan.
Yeah.
And I was saying if my wife was a vegetarian, I would be a vegetarian. Not by choice, just because that would be the food that it gets made and that's what I would eat. I'm not complaining. That's not just the way it is. I can't cook in my house, so don't, you know. This isn't Josh says women should be in the kitchen, Wendy. I think that's what Christian says.
No. Christian, okay. Well, I was just thinking because I cook. You know, I love to cook, and I cook, like, elaborate, very healthy, nutritious meals. But Christian's always a very enthusiastic eater.
Right.
Right? But maybe it's just because that's what I cook for you. I don't know.
Yeah,
maybe.
But Christian also likes Taco Bell. I know. Yes. Yeah. See, I know. Christian is Wendy's boyfriend, by the way. He's sitting in here with us as well as we're doing all this. So, yeah, no, I understand. But anyway, back to the Galaxy. I mean, this is the time to find out. They're culling the herd. All right. It's Hunger Games. It is Hunger Games. All right. They're being put out there. And, you know, everything is coming down the pipe in terms of, you know, some guys are going to make it. Some guys aren't. All right.
It's Battle Royale. That's how anyone ever saw the film or foreign film Battle Royale. That's what it is.
That's how exactly it is. All right. When anything else you want to say?
No.
Okay.
I'm looking excited for the game this weekend.
Yeah, it should be fun, actually. We'll see how it all turns out. All right, gonna take another break. Probably have maybe one or two more segments left in us. There's still some people walking around. We're gonna try to get some more questions from fans as they come by. Glad to have everybody joining us here live from the season ticket holder rally in a suite overlooking the field here at StubHub Center. So don't go anywhere. We're gonna be right back. Hopefully with some more stuff. All right, thanks. And welcome back to Corner of the Galaxy on cornerofthegalaxy.com. Our final little segment here. Wanted to do a quick wrap-up. Had a great time out here at the season ticket holder rally. A lot of fun with a lot of people. Got to meet some people, say hi, give out some stickers, give out some cards. Had a bunch of fun. So really appreciate everybody who stopped by, gave us some time to talk with them and go through everything. We had a great time here. Really want to thank the LA Galaxy, specifically Chris Glidden, for setting everything up for us. He has been absolutely outstanding, went above and beyond anything he needed to do, and you know, got us this great spot in a suite overlooking all the festivities in order to get this stuff done. So again, thank you to the LA Galaxy. Thank you to everybody who stopped by. Thank you to Jared Dubois, who got to come in and record with us after a while, and Wendy Thomas as well, and again, everybody who hung out. We had a bunch of fun. All right, that does it for us here at Corner of the Galaxy, live from the season ticket holder rally. Hope you guys enjoy the podcast. Hope you enjoy all the guests and all the questions and anybody who stopped by and did all that. We appreciate you guys. Hope you enjoy what we do, and we have a lot of stuff coming up this season with the LA Galaxy. 2017 season starts on Saturday. You've been listening to Corner of the Galaxy on cornerofthegalaxy.com. Have a great one.
You've been listening to the Corner of the Galaxy podcast on cornerofthegalaxy.com. You can follow the show on Twitter and Instagram at Galaxy Podcast, and be sure to check out and subscribe to iTunes, Stitcher, and Facebook by searching for Corner of the Galaxy. And for all of your independent LA Galaxy news, discussion, and entertainment, including this podcast, head on over to cornerofthegalaxy.com. Fans, thanks for listening. We ask that you be kind and courteous to your neighbors as you leave the podcast. We thank you for joining us and look forward to seeing you again. Until then, I'm Michael Araujo, and on behalf of the entire Corner of the Galaxy crew, goodbye, everybody.